This was election week, this past two election day, this past Tuesday for many folks, especially in St. Louis County.
Right. And, you know, I'm one of the fortunate people who had to vote early because I'm up in Jefferson City during election day. This was a very disappointing and unusual election in that, as we know, in St. Louis County in particular, there were not enough paper ballots at many of the polling places. So people were, in some cases, asked to come back later. In some cases, I imagine they didn't vote. Finally, I think about 7:30, the court said the polling places could stay open till 9 o'clock to allow people to vote, or they could go to the Board of Election. Anyway, with voting being a right, anything that we do intentionally or inadvertently that stands in the way of a person exercising his or her right to vote is really difficult to justify. And I know that we are investigating and looking into why this happened, and probably more importantly, how we can ensure that it doesn't happen again. So Tuesday was a tough day for a lot of people who wanted to exercise their right to vote. I haven't heard yet of any challenges to any elections, but we'll see if that is an outcome of this. And again, as we move forward and prepare for a huge presidential year, a huge primary season in August, and a presidential election in November, we want to make sure that everything is running according to plan and that there are no problems or issues with electronic voting or with the paper ballots, and that everybody gets to get in, exercise their right to vote, make their decisions about this important election and move forward. So I'm looking forward to hearing exactly what the outcome is of what created this problem. I also wanted to talk a little bit about other things that went on here in the Capitol while people were deciding about the elections and we were seeing election results from back home. We worked on a bill and actually perfected an use of deadly force, and I supported that bill. I think that we finally got it right this session to try to put into place times when it was appropriate for our officers to use deadly force in when there's a crime being committed. So I think that that was a good bill that is now moving through the process. At the beginning of the week, we saw some resolutions that were introduced to hold both Planned Parenthood and the pathology company that collects the fetal tissue from Planned Parenthood to hold them both in contempt of the Senate because they did not provide the information that was requested through the subpoena issued by the pro tem of the Senate at the request of Senator Schaefer. As you may recall, I served on the Sanctity of Life Interim Committee. I hate even calling it that, but that's what he named it. That interim committee was not involved with the request for putting out a subpoena for information, but I will tell you that Senator Schaefer did that unilaterally. And in that subpoena, he made broad requests for all kinds of information from Planned Parenthood, some of which would fall under HIPAA rules. At no time did he present the specific rationale for why he was issuing that subpoena that would justify him requesting specific kinds of information. So in response to that subpoena, Planned Parenthood's legal counsel replied in a timely fashion saying, if you could please tell us what exactly you are trying to investigate, and then we can help work out with you what information we should need to provide in order for those questions to be answered. So this is all about keeping that Planned Parenthood story alive through videos that we know were falsified. So we're starting from a false premise. Senator Schaefer continues to move forward, moving from, well, this is about Planned Parenthood when doing something illegal, which we know they have not done. We know both that the videos were falsified, but also we know that an investigation was done by the Attorney General's office that cleared Planned Parenthood of any wrongdoing. They were always in compliance with both federal and state law. Now, Senator Schaefer is saying these new subpoenas are about preserving the integrity of the Senate. I don't believe that that is true or necessary. Again, I believe that original subpoenas were responded to, but this will continue to move forward. Again, a way to make headlines and score political points. This week, we perfected a bill to put on the ballot a 5.9-cent gas tax increase. So if that continues to go through the process, the voters will have the opportunity to make a decision about whether that sales tax increase is the way they want to fund our roads and bridges that are in need of improvement. We also probably did what I consider to be, well, it's constitutionally really the only thing we need to do during a legislative session, which is to pass a budget. The budget reflects our priorities, and how we spend our money tells absolutely what we care about. So this year's budget, although I haven't received a balance sheet as requested from the budget chair, but this year's budget was estimated to be, based based on the numbers he has in his head, about $27.25 billion, or at least that's what his staff person had said. So about a $27 billion budget that we started working on as a full body at 10 o'clock this morning and finished about 5 o'clock this evening. So your head must spin when you think about spending $27 billion that quickly. But we went through and I had many questions, including language that was inserted in several pieces of the bill that were actually changes in our legislation. And we constitutionally know that we're never supposed to legislate through the budget process. We are just supposed to appropriate. So I don't know if some of these budget bills will be challenged in court, but we'll see about that. Higher ed, although there was a lot of concern about the higher ed budget, Senator Schaefer, who had threatened to cut that budget, and the Senate pro tem, who had said he was going to give higher education a haircut because of some things that had happened during this year. Those budget dollars were restored in the Senate at the recommendation of the budget chair. So I'm glad to see that's happened. K through 12 got additional funds, but of course we're still underfunded by about $400 million. So again, this foundation formula that we put into place in 2005, we still have not fully funded, which means that we have broken our promise to our kids to get them what they needed in terms of dollars to provide them the best education we can in the state of Missouri. The biggest disappointment for me in the overall budget was what in essence is the defunding of Planned Parenthood in the state of Missouri. So right now, Planned Parenthood serves about 7,000 patients a year who are Medicaid patients. So these are very low-income people. These are people who, if they're part of a family of four, those families make less than $5,000 per year. These people access Planned Parenthood, among many others. A lot of college students, a lot of young people use Planned Parenthood for their reproductive health needs. Planned Parenthood does initial screenings for breast cancer. They do pap smears. They do provide treatment and testing for any kind of sexually transmitted infections. They do all kinds of services for both men and women, and are particularly helpful for low-income people because they provide those services on a sliding scale basis. We have defunded them from any state dollars by changing the way we write our formula and not allowing them to access Medicaid reimbursements for those low-income people that utilize Planned Parenthood as their health care provider for reproductive health. So that, to me, is the most difficult thing that came out of the budget today. As part of the minority party, the budget certainly doesn't protect all of those things or fund all of those things that I tend to care most about, but to cross the line by defunding those things and, frankly, turning away $8 million from the federal government, which would have allowed for Medicaid payments to be reimbursed to Planned Parenthood, turning away that $8 million from the federal government and pulling out our own taxpayer $8 million out of general revenue in order to defund Planned Parenthood, I think is a waste of our money. It is certainly not fiscally responsible when we turn away $8 million from the federal government, and we are doing a disservice to some of our low-income and young people who, again, utilize Planned Parenthood as their reproductive health care provider of choice. So that was this week, the budget. There are a lot more details that will be coming out about that. Thank you for listening and letting me tell you what I think some of the important issues of the week have been.